of the greatness of God through our native children in Winnipeg. And you understood Winnipeg, there's something like 150,000, I believe it's that many native people, First Nations people living there, and children, and just powerful things that are going on. And to get dedicated to that realm, you have to be anointed by God. You have to be called of the Lord. And I really believe that she's both. And so in her testimony and in her sharing today, grab a hold of it. The very first time I met her, we were up somewhere up in the North Country. But there was a special anointing on this individual to bring revival to children, bring revival to a generation. So let's give her a community church welcome. God bless you this morning, sis. All right. Is this going to be good? All right. Yeah.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm getting these messages now because my phone only connects when I'm around Wi-Fi because I'm Canadian. I don't want to be paying roaming charges. So it's like, where are you? Are you almost here? Are you lost? Yes, I am lost. I went around all your beautiful country farms. I was like, where is a bridge in this place? You know, come on, Lord. But he made me come here, praise God. Somehow I just kept following. Okay, I got the red dot. I'm just gonna keep driving until I somehow get my car to the red dot. You know, because it wasn't reconnecting because I have no Wi-Fi, no internet. So I'm just like, Jesus, take the wheel. Anyways, praise God, I'm here. And I'm so thankful to be here. So let me just open with a word of prayer. I was sad to miss this wonderful worship, so I need the anointing of the Lord because I'm speaking on peace this morning, and I don't feel very peaceful right now. So let's just dive into the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, thank you that you are peace. That's who you are. You are the Son of God. You're the Prince of Peace. And so I walk in that right now, that fruit, Lord. And we just thank you for this time that we got to gather together and worship. Thank you that you allowed me to find this place. In all the detours of life that you give us, you always bring us back to you. You're a faithful God. And I just thank you for even how you've been leading this church faithfully into deeper things with you, God, in deeper encounters with you. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that every word that I speak this morning is anointed by your presence and is through you and from you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, good morning. How is everyone doing this morning? Great. So, first of all, before I get into the message about peace, I just want to say a huge thank you to your church community. It was about a year ago this time, Darlene Smith called me and asked if I would like to come and speak at a camp in the States. And I was like, ooh, international speaker. That has a nice ring to it, a little add to the resume, you know? I was like, okay, Jesus. So I asked the Lord, and he's like, yeah, let's do it. So I drove out to this camp, and I really didn't know what to expect because Dar, if you guys know her, which you do, she wasn't really great at details. So she's just like, here's the address, just show up. I was like, okay, I can do that. So I showed up. I had no idea who I really was supposed to meet, what I was supposed to do, where I was going to stay, how many sessions I should prepare for, you know. So praise God that he is faithful. And so I was able to meet right away Jen and Tom. And then I met the kids. And that was an incredible camp that we had. It was so beautiful to see how the Holy Spirit really touched these little kids and how open they were to encountering the presence of God. And through that door opening for me to come to the camp, this church has really opened their their arms to me and have welcomed me. And I've been able to come to one of your children's conferences you guys had, and one of the schools of the intern, or what's it called, the School of the Supernatural, I was able to come. And so I was even, ordained, yes, in this church. So, you know, I just really want to say thank you to this community for adopting me into your family and to make me feel so welcome. It's like I have a whole nother family in the States now. And it's such a blessing how God connects our hearts and how He connects lives. And I've just been so encouraged by you guys and the level of I guess, faith you guys walk in, even that you have these schools of supernatural, you guys are hungry for more of God, and it shows in how you teach. And even, you guys probably know this, but you have incredible children's pastors. Like Tom and Jen are incredible. They have written this message. It's called The Game Changers for Kids, pretty much. And, you know, I was reading it, and I just want you guys to know that you have leaders who are equipping and teaching your kids in a powerful way. And that is so special. And definitely treasure them, because that's a gift from God. So back in Winnipeg, I work for an inner city kids and youth ministry, as Pastor Jake said. It's called Living Bible Explorers. LBE is what the kids know it as. And those kids are, I like to say the word cray-cray at times. They're, you know, they come with a lot of labels, unfortunately, a lot of circumstances beyond their control that don't always allow them to listen. So I was really encouraged when I came here and spoke to your kids. I'm like, wow, these kids listen. They sit. They're not wiggling around on the floor. They're not like running around the building. Wow, I like this. It was definitely a whole different camp to speak at. So, you know, praise God you're teaching them well. And yeah, so I just want to say thank you to your church family for letting me come and get to know you guys, and get to know your kids. You guys have incredible kids, all of you. I really, the kids that I have gotten to know, and some of them are now my Facebook friends, you know, so they keep me updated with what's going on in your community. So I just praise God for how they can influence me, and I can influence them. So let us get into the message. Sorry. I still feel a little like lost in my detours of the highway. That is okay. It is not your fault that your detours are not clearly marked. So, we are living in crazy days with so many lies being thrown at our kids. And the enemy wants to create chaos, and he really wants to get them so confused in their identity. And that's why I think what Jen and Tom are doing in teaching this identity message to your young people is so vital, and it's so important. Because right now, I don't know if it's the same here in the States, but in Canada, the education system is totally teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God. And it's heavily influenced now also by native spirituality. They've taken the Lord's Prayer out. They've taken anything that resembles anything about Jesus out, but now have replaced it with things of native spirituality. So the kids are actually encouraged to go to sweat lodges and to have smudging in their classrooms and to have things that are, you know, a confusing identity, a confusing time. But the Lord says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not of God of disorder, but of peace. So that brings me to the message of peace today. So what do you think of when you hear the word peace? What does peace mean to you? Is it a deep breath after work? You just relax, the day is done, you put your feet up, get a cup of coffee or tea? Or is it when your kids are in bed and then you have that moment of silence and you're like, this is peace. Now no babies cry. What is peace to you? Peace is described as freedom from disturbance, quiet, tranquility, calm, or restfulness. Maybe some of you are all thinking, that sounds pretty good right now. What I would do for a moment of peace. That's what I was thinking when I was driving down those roads. Lord, where is my peace at right now? I refuse to get anxious. Mm-mm. Get another thought. When people open their lives to Jesus, many of people, the first thing they describe when they first encounter the presence of Jesus is, wow, I've never felt this kind of peace before. Right? Isn't it true? That's the first thing when people encounter Jesus, they're like, this is so unreal. I'm like, yeah, that's called supernatural peace. It's different than the peace that the world gives us. In Philippians 4, 6 to 8, it says about peace. Paul is telling the church here not to worry. He says, don't worry about anything. What is all included in anything? It's your future, your family, your finances, your job, your health, your leaky roof. You know, this last winter, I had this giant hole in my roof, and I might have told some of you guys, but I had water coming through my roof, and I was really stressing out about this because as a missionary, I work on a salary that I have to raise. And so it's not like I have a ton of extra cash in my bank account to fix a roof. And my insurance company came because somebody told me, well, maybe you can get an insurance claim. So I was like, okay, I'll do that. I'll try. They came, did their little measurements and whatever. It actually kind of backfired on me. Now they said, if you don't get this fixed, we will not insure you. And we will not cover it. I was like, bad advice. I should have. So, you know, I could have lost my peace in that moment, but I was like, okay, God, you're in control. You can help me. Because it says, do not worry about anything. Anything. That includes the little stuff, and that includes the big stuff. Because God cares about us. But the word says, but pray about everything. Not just the little things, not just the big things, everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Isn't that true? God's peace exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So prayer truly releases peace in our hearts. Sometimes, you know, when life gets overwhelming and you're a little flustered or you're kind of like things are just stacking up and you haven't had that moment to get away and get alone with the Lord, and then your mood starts unraveling and people don't want to be around you. They're like, either get some food in your system or get some prayer in your heart, but get away from me right now until one of those two have done. So for me, it's like when you get away, when you feel that unraveling and you just take a moment and you're like, I just need some Jesus time. And you go and you release your heart to the Lord. You come back with a whole new level of peace. Because you're aligning yourself again with heaven. You're aligning yourself with what God says. Because in heaven, like we learned, there's no chaos, there's no worry, there's no anxiety, there's perfect peace, there's perfect order. So when we align ourselves again with heaven, because the overwhelming stuff, the life, it gets us unaligned. Has anybody here been to a chiropractor and they're like, your back is totally off? You know, it just takes a little pop and you're aligned again. It takes a little pop with the Lord to get into prayer, to get aligned, so you receive your peace back. Don't let the enemy steal your peace. Get in alignment with heaven, get in alignment with the Lord, and your peace will be returned. But it's taking that time. It's taking that time in a life that is full of busyness. But it's a priority. And you come away, it's like you were just at the spa all day. You know, when you spend that time with the Lord, it actually feels like that. My favorite time when I get spa time with Jesus is driving, actually. Not today. But yesterday when I was driving here, I actually, because there's nothing else you have to worry about, you know? You're focused on the road. At least you should be. Get off your phone, you know? Focus on the road, and it's just you and the Lord. And my car, Jake has been praying for a new car for me. I'm just waiting on the Lord for that because it's getting worse, Jake. It's getting worse. So now, anytime I put my car into park, the key gets stuck. You know, I have to do this whole thing where you pull up the e-brake, you pull up the cup tray, and I have to dig in there, click some wires, and then jiggle the key out. Okay, it's a process every single time I park. I'm like, I've cut my fingers up. And then, recently, my radio went to lock. I don't know why, it just says locked. I have banged that thing, I have prayed over it, and it's still locked. So guess what that meant? No radio and no music on the drive here. But I did get my little speaker and I put it in my car and I was like, I'll just jam away anyways, even though my radio doesn't work. So, but the whole point is that driving is my favorite time to pray and to connect with the Lord. And so use little opportunities that you have in your life. Look for opportunities where you can just allow your heart to rest and be in the presence, because that's where you receive the peace, right? In the presence of Jesus. God's peace is different from the world's peace. In John 14:27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." And I like how the Amplified Bible describes it. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge." And that's what we need, that His perfect peace will calm us. His perfect peace has no anxiety, has no worries attached to it, has no fear attached to it. Notice it says, do not be afraid. We are actually not called to live lives that are chaos, because we have a Father who is in perfect harmony. But the world speaks a different message. I was doing some research, And it said in 2015, about 3 million teenagers from the ages of 12 to 17 had at least one major depressive episode in the past year, according to Department of Health and Human Services. More than 2 million report experiencing depression that impairs their daily function. The whole anxiety has skyrocketed in our young people. I don't know if you guys have even noticed that in schools or in your communities, but there are a lot more young people on antidepressants, on anti-anxiety medication, on a whole lot of new therapies that is totally changed how kids interact. I work with many youth that experience anxiety attacks, where they feel like they're having a heart attack, like it's really real for them. I've never really experienced anxiety myself, so at first I was like, well, just get over it. You know? Just get some thicker skin. That's called life, honey. But you know what? It's actually really damaging to them. I've watched, I had this one little girl, I've known her since she was in grade one, and when she got into junior high, she had anxiety attacks so bad that it actually prevented her from going to school for weeks at a time. She would be shut down. And so myself and a few of her friends, we would come to her house and we would lay hands on her and we would pray. And I would write these little verses on cue cards for her. And I said, I want you just to read this over and over again, because it's by the renewing of our minds that we are set free, right? Transforming our minds. And depression and anxiety is an attack of the spirit. It's not God's will for us. But it's a real thing. The level of stress has gone up in adolescents and adults due to such high-pressure world that we live in. Pressure to be perfect, pressure to stand out, to perform well, to succeed, to keep up with the Joneses, all the while losing our peace. Also, the new norm to cram our minds with constant entertainment, constant distraction, or constant busyness. I read an article in the Times that says that the average people in the U.S., and this is probably true for Canada, check their phones 46 times per day. That's a lot. And youth are so young when they become addicted to smartphones or devices, it's hard for many adults to understand how much of teenagers' emotional life is lived within a small screen on their phones. So that's what creates this anxiety. There's a whole nother world for our teens and our young people that, you know, we didn't experience. In many conversations with teens and parents and school counselors, this researcher says across the country, there has been a sense that being a teenager today is a draining full-time job that includes doing schoolwork, managing a social media identity, fretting about career, climate change, sexism, racism, you name it. Every fight or slight is documented online for hours or days after the incident. It's exhausting. This is what the young people are living in. An exhausting time. Isn't this a sad reality? Many of you here, myself included, grew up in a totally different world. One where you had to wait your turn to talk on the phone. And only one person could talk at a time. And you also, when you took pictures or selfies, you had to wait a week after you dropped off the film to see them. I was actually explaining that to my daughter the other day. I was like, yeah, you know, I have 4,000 pictures on my phone right now. And the guy's like, this is why your phone's really slow right now. I'm like, okay, 4,000 pictures, even with the whole cloud thing, which I do not get. That is a mystery, I tell you. But here I am, we have all these pictures, we have all this immediate stuff, but that's not how I grew up, actually. In 1995 is when the internet came, and I was in junior high. And so I still remember the whole dial-up. You guys, some of you in this crowd may even be a little older and not even know internet in school at all. So communication at school when I was young was through writing letters. You know, you folded them up all cute-like, you passed them down to your friends. There was no such thing as online shaming or spending hours surfing the net. We didn't do that. In all this, our world has lost peace. And peace, and the peace is trying to grab a hold is not true and lasting peace. The peace that these kids are trying to get, the peace that our world is trying to get. I mean, why do you think that yoga has skyrocketed in the industry that it's at? Even goat yoga, okay? I was like, who pays for goat yoga? I know, there's videos on YouTube, look it up. There's these little baby goats that will walk on people. I'm like, that's relaxing. I grew up on a farm, you know? I get the whole relaxing animal thing, but I'm like, goats walking on me? Those goats are annoying. I was like, I would not let a goat lie on me or walk on me. One thing that I did do, this is a little detour here, but I grew up on a chicken farm and we had 40,000 chickens. And so when they were baby chicks that would come, you know, they brought them in these little crates and they would just throw them onto the fresh straw. And my sisters and I, we would lie down in the fresh straw. We would go, cheep, 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 cheep. And the little chickens would come and crawl all over us and tickle our ears. And we would just be lying there for like hours laughing and giggling with these little yellow fluffs. But when they got older, they were disgusting and I hated it. And my job was to collect dead birds every morning before school. So, you know, after a while, you kind of don't like the chickens. But I made $3 an hour, you know? That was big time. So goat yoga or chicken yoga, I don't know. Maybe that's an industry we should create. Oh, I could be onto a business there. Okay. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Chick yoga. That has a ring to it. But anyway, so this world is trying really hard to find some kind of level of peace, right? They're trying by going on vacations, by buying newer things or bigger things, or trying to find something that will create peace in them. But we know that that's not a lasting kind of peace. The only kind of lasting peace is from the Prince of Peace. So even as we approach summer holidays, we have to guard our peace. We have to guard it that it's not stolen and replaced with stress and busyness. When you go on a vacation, actually relax. Disconnect from your iPhone. Disconnect from email. Disconnect and reconnect with the Lord. Looking back at John 14, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus' peace is different from the world's. We don't have to live in a world of anxiety or fear. Jesus gives us the gift of his peace. Because in Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, he says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end." Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So when we have Jesus in our life, we have peace. And in John 15, he talks about the branches in the vine. And Jesus is telling us to remain in him. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Who's the vine? Jesus. Peace is also one of the fruit of the Spirit. So to walk in the fruit of peace, we have to remain in Jesus. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is peace. And everything he is, we are. If we lack peace, then we're not remaining or abiding in Jesus very closely. Get realigned. Realigned, reconnected with the one who is peace. I don't know how much time I have, but I have one other story I want to share, so then just bear with me, and then I'll give it over. But, or two little stories. When I was here in November for your conference, you guys had, I think his name was David, right? The prophetic prophet. And he gave me a word that was really special. Sorry, I'm just going to find that. Basically, he told me that among a lot of things, he said that, I feel the Lord is about to give you safe houses to bring people in Winnipeg and beyond. And I just felt like the Lord said, this is a time I'm going to cause people to come and seek you out and come and find you out. And he gave me quite a long word. Some of you were here, and they're like, I remember meeting the people in the restaurant afterwards. They're like, wow, you really got a long word. I said, I know Jesus has lots to say. Praise the Lord. He loves me. And but that word that I feel like Jesus, the Lord is about to give you safe houses to bring people. Well, talking about peace, you know, sometimes that's how we gauge making decisions. Do we have peace or do we not have peace? Is there agreement in my spirit or is there not, right? And so I got a phone call. This happened in November, and then the next week I got a phone call from one of my friends who happened to be an old co-worker as well in the ministry. And she called me and she said, Marianne, can you take in this teenager? She really has no place to go. She's been in a really bad foster home, and she just has a mattress on the floor, and it's super cold, and she can't concentrate on her homework, and it's way out in Jigtown, which is like an hour bus ride for her to go to school. And she used the word, would you be a safe house for her? Instantly, the Lord reminded me about this word. Instantly, I didn't even have to pray about it. I was like, Lord, that's a check in my spirit. I have peace, and I'll say yes. I did not know what I was saying yes to at that point, but I was saying yes in obedience to the word that God has spoken. She said, will you be a safe house for Nina? I said, the Lord just spoke that I would have a safe house, and people would come to me and find me out. And so I said yes. And so and it went fast. I tell you, I've never seen CFS actually work that fast. She was in my home within a week. And she's 15 years old. Her name is Nina, and she is still living with me. So as of December 1st, she moved in, and it's been 7 months, and we've had a lot of ups and downs, but God is good. And he's used this young girl to help shape me, and he's using me to help her. And so she actually even came to LBE before she came into my home, but I didn't know her very well. She came to our lunch program that we have every Tuesday and Thursday. We have a hot meal program for the local junior high and high schoolers, but she had connected well with my other coworker. So it was definitely a growing experience, but I'm just so thankful that God gives us that kind of assurance. And so check your spirit when you make a decision. Do you have peace in it? And then you can quickly say yes to something. But if you don't have peace, if you don't have the peace of God, then be guarded. you know? Guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. And my last story that I just want to share is last year, around Christmas time, I guess, my peace was stolen from me. Like, total wipeout. You know, where you just feel like you've been hit by a truck or something. You're like, what just happened? My little sister got married in October. And you probably don't know, but my parents were separated when I was in grade 7. And so the three oldest lived with my dad, which was me, and my two other sisters. And the youngest stayed with my mom due to circumstances of her being too young. My dad felt like she still needed a mother figure. But my oldest sister and myself and my other sister, we were very, or my oldest sister and I specifically did not have a good relationship with my mother. She was very abusive and not able to be the mother that we really needed at the time. So my dad finally did separate from her and took the oldest three. And in that time, you know, God restored my childhood, and it was so beautiful, and my father really loved us well. But he was with us for a short time because 2 years later he was killed in a snow tubing accident. And so, anyways, rewind now. This is October this past year. The little sister that I didn't really get to grow up with, my mom kept her really distant from us. She would not allow us to visit her. She used her as a ploy of control in our lives. And so she kind of felt like a distant cousin instead of my little sister. But I prayed a lot as I was a young teenager. I prayed a lot that God would restore our relationship. And I can say that the Lord has. Through just his love, his incredible love. God is so good. And I can honestly say she's like a little sister again, you know. And in October, she got married. And so I have my own business called Funky Decor, which I like to decorate just for fun. I haven't really made any money off of it yet because I keep doing it for free for everybody. But, you know, so here is my little sister. And here's a way I can really bless her as her older sister. And so I decorated her entire wedding for her for free. And I mean, I went all out, you know, spent money. My oldest sister and I went to my birth mom's house for 4 nights before the wedding because she wanted to get married outside of my mom's yard. And so we did all this cleaning. And for my oldest sister to spend a night in my mother's house is a miracle on its own. Okay. And so the fact that both of us stayed with my mom for 4 nights, that was God's grace at work. And we actually had a pleasant time. You know, we actually were having fun. We were playing games at night. We worked hard. We made that farmyard look amazing. I'm like, girl, you just got a ton of free labor. Lucky you. But so the wedding happened. It was beautiful. She got married. And on the speeches, also, they're like, Marianne, our MC is nervous and sick. Can you jump in? I was like, oh, yeah, I can jump in. I like to talk on a microphone. Okay, I'll be the MC. So, you know, I did a lot of little jobs. And so the speeches were happening, and now it was my birth mom's time to speak. And she goes up, and this is where my peace was totally stolen. She talked about how my dad, on his deathbed, raised his hand up to her, and they made peace with each other, and I don't even know what she all said. And she also had said that, you know, our family was broken apart, and Allison, you didn't deserve that. Allison's my little sister. Basically, once again, my sisters and I were sitting at the table and we were just listening to her speech and we were like, what is she talking about? She basically talked about my dad's death like it was some healing moment for her. And I've heard her share about that before, but at a wedding, I was like, this is inappropriate, not the time for it. And it's not true. My dad was dead. Like, I went to go see him. He was pumped full of fluids, and they had him on life support, But medically, the doctor told us that he was brain dead, like he hit his head on a piece of ice rock, and which caused internal bleeding. And so I got to go say goodbye, but for a very short time, and I knew that he wasn't like lifting his hand at that point. It wasn't true what she was saying. And it wasn't true that our family was broken apart because of us. And so she said this stuff in front of all these people that were our family and some strangers, and I was just really torn about it. And it was like weeks that afterwards, it brought up all this old stuff. You know, you think you dealt with it, you went for counseling, you did the whole like prayer ministry, yes, Jesus, I'm healed. But it's like, it just brought it back up. Oh my goodness, okay, do I actually like my mother? Did I actually forgive her? Because right now I do not like her. And right now she's done a lot of damage. And so my oldest sister and I decided to go and confront her this time. And before we went, we told each other, we said, we're not gonna say you always, you never kind of language, and we're not gonna yell. But we did not succeed. It was a yelling match, and we failed, and we did both that. She said painful things, we said painful things. It was not helpful at all. My mom was in total denial about our past and our painful childhood, calling us liars or brainwashed, and I left there feeling very confused with no peace. But this is where it gets good. This is where it gets about alignment. So a few days later, I was alone with the Lord, just crying out to him. I can't explain what happened, but something changed in my heart with God that day. And God, I heard him say, Mary, are you ready to let it go? Are you ready to let it go and just allow me to fill you? I said, yes, I'm ready to let it go. And I'm ready to allow my mom to be who she is and to get to know her and love the woman she is today. Not who she wasn't for me, but to see her through God's eyes. God once again exchanged my heaviness for his peace. In Psalms 147, verse 3, it says, God heals the brokenhearted and bandages up their wounds. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, go visit her. My mom lives 3 hours away from me. So I went the next weekend. I didn't want to. I was fighting the Lord, to be honest. But I went. And I had a really good time, and we played a lot of games. And I just let her be her. And I let go. I let go of who I wanted her to be, what I wanted her to say. I just let go. And I didn't let go in my own strength, okay, guys? Like, this was definitely the Lord's help. And through letting go, my peace was restored. And through letting go, I could see how God loved her. My oldest sister is not following Jesus, so she was just like, what are you doing? We were both at that same meeting. So it's a testimony to her, too. I said, it's only possible because of God. She still didn't get it. She's like, you're just putting yourself in a bad situation, Mary. You know, you're going to get hurt, but the Lord guards my heart and he guards my mind. And I'm not going to let my mom steal my peace, because my peace comes from Jesus. So what does true peace look like to you? Are you in need of peace today? Let me just pray over us. So, Father, I thank you that you sent your Son, that he is the Prince of Peace, and that the government rests on his shoulders, and that he reigns in peace forever, all day long. I thank you that your peace can transform our minds and renew our hearts and give us strength. And I pray for every person in this room, Lord. You know what they're going through. You know what creates disalignment in their lives, God. You know if it's if it's just fear or anxiety, or if it's worry or stress about situations or circumstances in their lives. But you know, Lord. And I pray, God, that by your Spirit, that they would come away with you today. And that they would come in perfect alignment with you again. That you would restore their peace. That you would align their hearts with heaven and their perspective with heaven. And that any anxiety and any fear just be broken off now in Jesus' name. And total peace, the peace of heaven, would flow over like honey, over every circumstance, over every situation, over every relationship in their lives. And that they would feel the ministry of the Prince of Peace, ministering to their heart, to their mind, restoring what in the natural seems impossible, but with the supernatural peace of God can be restored. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the healer of the brokenhearted. Thank you for your incredible love. Thank you that even in this world we will have trouble, but you have come to overcome the world. You are greater, Jesus. So we just say to you, the enemy of this world, Satan, the liar who wants to steal peace in our young people, we say that you are not allowed because they are children of heaven. And we ask you, Lord, that you would guard their hearts and guard their minds in Christ Jesus. And we pray for this camp that we're about to step into, that your peace would be so present in that place, God. That would overflow and it would minister to these hearts that maybe are not coming out of peaceful circumstances. Maybe some of these kids are coming out of homes that are restless or anxious. But that when they come into camp, they come into perfect peace. Because where you are, Jesus, you are an atmosphere changer. And when you abide in us and we abide in you, we can step into a room and change that atmosphere. We can declare peace will reign in this place. Where there is chaos, we can come in and declare peace will reign in this place. And I just pray for any businessmen in this room, Lord, where there is meetings that are stressful and there's a lot riding on it. Lord, I pray that as men of God, that they would come into that room and order peace. Because it abides in them, and they would change that room because of your Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that one of your beautiful fruits is the peace, and we can live in it every day, every moment. So we just break off agreement with anxiety. We break off agreement with anxiousness. We break off agreement with worry. Worry about our futures. Worry about our leaking roofs. Worry about anything, God. We break it off and we say, Lord, you establish your peace in us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we can have you. Thank you that we have you. Thank you that we can know peace that surpasses understanding. Thank you, Jesus. What a gift. What a gift, and we need to treasure this gift. Thank you, Jesus. And will we allow the world to hear this good, good gift and know about it and share this gift of peace with them, because they are desperate for it. Bless these people today, Lord. Bless our hearts. Help us to get away with you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you. I just, in the power of the Holy Spirit, I really believe that when Marianne was talking about her car, and I know this was probably, I don't know when, was this the last time you were down, you were telling us about the car, and I'm just going, yeah, that's something. I really believe in the Holy Spirit, that God wants us to sow something. And I had just, I had a small amount in my pocket that I'd grabbed actually at Sandy's. So thanks, baby. I get to sow in your. But I want to do some sowing. And I feel like you have something, not maybe in money, but you have something in your garage. You have something that you can get rid of. It's been sitting there for a good length of time, or something that you can get rid of. And I just really believe that God's wanting us to sow into a vehicle. And I've got some pretty wild stuff going on in my mind right now anyway, that the Lord kind of... So I just believe that through us as a united team, together everyone accomplishes more, that we're going to put a united team effort into Winnipeg with the children, the Native children. We've worked 38, 39 years, maybe 40, 41 years up in the reserves, and this lady's right there pouring into the generation that we think that we missed. Because we got all the older guys, I mean, some of them are passing on now, but the whole other generation is just, it's horrible. And what she was talking about, it's just mind-boggling. So I just really feel like this is what we, and if that's you, if you got an old bicycle or a motorcycle, I was thinking someone gave me a motorcycle or United Team International last year, and we haven't sewed in that thing. So I wanted to do something for Winnipeg, not only Mary Ann, but for something that's actually going to have some real, real powerful meaning in that whole country. And I mean all the way across. There's something like 700 reserves in Canada. So with that, I'm going to sow now. And like I said, if it was $10, that's fantastic, because that's the sowing process. But maybe we could take a challenge that maybe you have something that you can get rid of and really make a difference in that sowing. And you're not sowing into Mary Ann. Oh, poor Mary Ann. She doesn't have a car, and she cuts her fingers when she's trying to turn the thing off. And no, it's about God. It's about the move of God. It's about a person that's pouring out her life for the gospel's sake. I want to say, and I've been thinking about this all week, is the ministers of the gospel are women and are men that have given up their life. And anyone that I've laid hands on, even if they messed up after we did, I believe that we did right. And we have more ministers, women ministers, out doing great, wonderful works. And I would say maybe 40 or 50 ordained ministers. We didn't even want to, we didn't even know what ordination was all about in the respect of that. But when you see the anointing, that's the ordination. Amen. All we're doing is recognizing the anointing and saying, Mary Ann, you're doing the work of the Lord. You're ordained for this day, for this hour. And I want to sow into your life so you can sow into other people's lives. So with that, let's pray. Let's stretch our hands towards Mary Ann. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this vessel of honor, that she will come and she'll pour into our kids this week. And she's done it time and time again. And now she's an international speaker, which is cool. But Lord, we ask, Lord, that we can be an international blessing to her in that city of Winnipeg, where there's 150,000 Native First Nations people and all those children. God, that we could do something that would be so mind-shaking, mind-boggling, that even it would be internationally known, that people are helping each other, and we're a united team together. Everyone is accomplishing more. We pray this now, and we sow into this ministry. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. See, Sandra's sowing here. Yeah, thank her. I'm going to have to get my own. All right. Well, let's stand up. Bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his goodness shine upon you. May everything that this week that you encounter, that the very thing that we just heard on peace, I did tell you last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, I was repenting because I was on that road. And I said, here's a grader right there, 20 feet away. I'm coming to prayer meeting. Pastor Tom had to almost cast the devil out of me. I just on that road, it just brought the worst out of me. Maybe it wasn't the devil, but I tell you what, it was a bad attitude. And I was wondering, I said, okay, Lord, there's a grader. Why don't you take the grader, grade the road? You know, that's what we do here. And so sometimes you can lose your peace. And the enemy comes in, whether it be your flesh, whether it be the world that you live in, whether it be the devil at times. But he comes in and steals it. But we have to fight the good fight, amen? And so we have to get back on track. And by the time I left the prayer meeting, I was very, very good. So that's testimony from your pastor. So may the Lord bless you.